Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here. This is the WGN Radio Theater Program 161 in the series. It's March 11th. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa? How are you?
Hi, Carl. I'm excited to be here.
Our producer tonight is Lise Graham, like the crackers. Hey, Lise, how are you, hon?
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing?
Never heard that before, right? It's brand new, right?
Lise, actually, like the crackers. Thank you for that. It's like the best way to introduce my last name.
I know. I've never heard calamari, you know, the hors d'oeuvre. So on this edition, it's Richard Diamond, Private Detective, My Favorite Husband, and Gunsmoke, three classic radio shows that'll take us all the way up to 2 o'clock in the morning, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming drama Song to Song, set in the Austin, Texas music scene of seduction and betrayal.
What do they win?
They will win a $25 gift card for Lumel Nadi.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Katherine Hepburn in The Aviator.
Every time there's a picture of you with another woman, it's like a slap in the face. Don't you understand that?
All right, who is that fantastic actress? Give us a call, 312-981-7200, win a Lou Malnati's pizza. We'll be right back.
And we are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that movie clip one more time.
Every time there's a picture of you with another woman, it's like a slap in the face. Don't you understand that?
And we have Joe on the line from Aurora. Hey, Joe.
How are you tonight?
I'm great. Do you know that actress?
I think I do.
I knew you would.
Cate Blanchett, please.
You are absolutely right. It is Cate Blanchett. And, Joe, we are so thrilled to give you a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can order online at loumalnatis.com. Thank you so much for starting off our show with a Lou Malnati's pizza.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Joe. All right, Joe's a big winner, and all of our listeners are big winners because we have classic radio all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning. We're going to start things off in just a moment with Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Then it's My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball Wolf, right?
Oh, yes.
Lucille Ball Wolf.
That's me.
And then Gunsmoke with William Conrad. That's till 2 o'clock, so thanks for staying up with us. And Richard Diamond, Private Detective, was a good detective series created by Blake Edwards. And Blake Edwards, Lisa, was the director of all the Pink Panther movies, remember, with Inspector Clouseau?
I sure do.
Yeah, Peter Sellers. And it came to radio in 1949. It lasted until 1953, and it starred actor-crooner Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. And he enjoyed ribbing the cops and singing songs to his millionaire's girlfriend, Helen Asher, played by Virginia Gregg. And the theme song, Leave It to Love, was whistled at the beginning of the show by Powell himself. So that's him whistling, as you'll hear.
He saved a few bucks there.
Yeah, I guess so. So we have a radio episode for you now going back to May 29th, 1949. This is called the Betty Moran Case. Here's part one of Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Here's Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
My name's Diamond, and I'm in business for a very simple reason. I like money. Oh, sure, I could do better, but I don't believe in straining myself. I might make a few bucks more, but so what? You work harder, your back gets weaker. and you take that extra couple of bucks and spend it for a brace to keep it from folding in the middle. No, I got a little one-room office that leans out over Broadway, and I'm very happy. Sometimes I get a case that lasts a week, $100 a day in expenses, and I make enough to pay the rent. Take my girl Helen Asher to dinner a couple of times and rest my feet on the desk like a prosperous businessman. I'm in partnership with a shill called Human Nature. And with him on my side, it just figures that people are going to get in trouble. Like the character who's ringing the doorbell of an apartment on the east side. He's built just right for more trouble than he can handle.
Well.
Hello, Mrs. Moran.
You say that like you're really glad to see me.
I'll let you know as soon as we can talk business.
Did you bring a rubber hose along?
Why? Are you going to be hard to get along with?
This time, yes.
Where's your husband?
He went out. I tried to convince him the window was the quickest way to the street, but he's old-fashioned. He took the elevator.
You're drunk.
You can't get a bit out of me. Want a drink?
Just get the 500. I don't want to be around when your old man gets back.
You couldn't afford that, could you?
No, and I don't think you could either, baby. Now let's stop playing games, Mrs. Moran.
I've got a big, fat surprise for you, Mac.
Keep it in small bills.
That's not funny. That's your surprise.
Yeah?
Yeah. You don't get the money. You get something else.
Stop yelling. You'll have the whole building up here in a minute.
They'll be up anyway, Mac. A gunshot makes people curious.
Now, wait a minute. You don't have to pull a gun.
I don't have to do anything. And I'm breaking myself of one habit right now. I'm through paying your dirty blackmail.
Now, you know I got my orders. If I don't collect, someone else will be around. Come on, give me the gun.
Sure. A piece at a time. I need a drink. Well, here's to nothing, Betty, old girl.
And shot to death in blackmail plot. Socialite Betty Moran kills gangster, then takes own life. Read all about it, paper.
I can't.
Oh, paper, mister?
Yeah. Hey, I'll keep the chair.
Oh, thanks.
Wealthy wife of William Moran kills. Well, I have to call Mr. Moran. No sense to lose a good source of income.
Come in.
Mr. Diamond?
Over here.
Oh, this clothesline, I couldn't see you. Do you always do your laundry in your office?
Free soap. Pull up a chair, Mr.
Moran. William Moran.
Oh.
Mm. Nice pair of argyles.
One of my old clients. Sends them down from Sing Sing.
Have you read the morning papers, Mr. Diamond?
I haven't had time. Took some throw rugs down to the laundromat before I started on the socks.
My wife died last night.
What did you eat for breakfast?
Why, pancakes and eggs? Why?
You must eat a whole pig when you're not in mourning. How did she die?
She was shot to death.
Couldn't she get two people for a pyramid club?
She was being blackmailed.
It's usually the other way around. The victim shoots the blackmailer.
She did that. His name was Mac Grayson.
Hmm?
I want you to find the other man behind this blackmail ring.
Oh, what makes you think there was more than one?
I received an anonymous phone call this morning. It was from a man who said he was a friend of Mac Grayson. He made it perfectly clear that he was going to continue with the blackmail.
You, know what they had on your wife?
She was a very wealthy woman, Mr. Diamond. Before she married me, she was rather, wild.
Well, they get that way sometimes.
There were some letters.
Why don't you go to the police?
As far as they're concerned, the case is closed. They say it's a murder and a suicide, and that's that. But I want to get the people who drove my wife to suicide.
Okay, Mr. Moran, but if you want me to try and dig up your blackmailers, my fee is rather high. I want to start sending my laundry out.
Money is no object.
That's the nicest thing you could have said. $100 a day and a fifth of plasma.
Plasma, Mr. Diamond?
100 proof. I never know what I'm going to run into in a case like this. I may bleed a little.
You can reach me at Evergreen 45021. I'll write your check.
Here, use my pen. It's getting an inferiority complex. Do you know anything more about this man who called you this morning?
Yeah, only that he said he was a friend of Mac Grayson's. Oh, there you are, Mr. Diamond. This should be enough of a retainer.
Oh, yes, yes. And that's all you know?
I'm sorry, I can't be of more help.
Oh, you've been a brick. I'll get the rest from homicide. Thank you, and goodbye, Mr. Moran.
Goodbye, Mr. Diamond, and good luck. Oh, I'm sorry, I knocked down some of your washing. There. Well, I'll be hearing from you.
Well, that's the way it goes. One minute you're washing socks, and the next you got enough money to stake out a claim on every night spot from Mott Street to Harlem. Unless a particular blackmail ring likes to kill private detectives. I had a hunch the assignment might run into overtime, so I put in a call to a lovely redhead named Helen Asher. Francis, the butler, answered, and I told him to pass the word along that I might be late for my date. I hung up before Helen could get on the pipe and start screaming at me like a wounded eagle. I locked the office, went down to 5th Precinct, and an old friend, Lieutenant Levinson. He was in charge of the homicide detail and could tell me about the late Mrs. Moran and her victim. When I walked in, Sergeant Otis was polishing his billy. Hello, Otis. The lieutenant in?
Well, Richard Diamond, the All-American Gumshoe.
Oh, you're just jealous because that club you've got is in better shape than your head.
Lieutenant, Diamond's out here.
Okay, send him in.
Tell me, Shamus, how does one get to be a great big private detective? Saving box tops?
Well, you have to observe things, Otis, my boy. For instance, one look at your shirt and I can tell you've been eating well for a week. Why don't you either get it cleaned or stick it in a pressure cooker? Hello, Walt.
Now, wait a minute, Rick. If you've got a body somewhere, take it to another precinct.
Well, I'm a little short right now, but maybe I can dig one up.
What is that? Yeah, that was a swell one. Is this just a social visit or am I a dreamer?
It's about the Moran suicide. You handle it?
Uh-huh. One of the neighbors called us. They're both deader than Otis on a double date.
What about the Grayson guy she knocked off?
Cheap thug. Couple of convictions. He... Oh, don't tell me Moran's been to you with that blackmail story.
Yeah, yeah. He seems to think Grayson was working with someone.
Rick, that guy pestered us all morning, but there's no proof of blackmail or anything else, except two people got killed.
Give me a quick rundown.
I don't know why you're interested. I think Moran drummed up the blackmail theory just to cover that his wife was running around with another man.
Well, I'm interested because Moran gave me a fat $200 in advance to get me in the spirit of the thing.
Well, if you want to be bored, here are the photographs of the deal. Here's Mac Grayson. Mm. Bullet entered his chest just below the 10th rib. Gun was a .32. Same one that the Moran dame used on herself. Enough powder burns on the shirt to show that she was standing pretty close when she gave it to him.
She'd have to be, not to miss him.
You can see she was lying about 10 feet from Grayson near the bar.
Huh?
Probably needed a stiff shot before she knocked herself off. That's the highball glass on the floor near her head. And that's the .32 she used, about 6 inches from her right hand, and only her prints on it.
Powder burns on the girl?
Sure, all over her temple. We did the paraffin test on her hand, too. She fired the gun all right.
Did Grayson have any friends?
We never tied him up with anyone except an old wino that hangs out on Skid Row, a dump called the Parrot Club. Name's Wilbur Truitt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thanks, Walt.
Now, look, the dame killed the guy and then shot herself. What more do you want?
I'll let you know.
Now, wait a minute. I know that gleam in your eye. I always get a sour stomach from it. If you've got something, you'd better tell me.
Oh, you're a cynic, Walt. Have you talked to this Wilbur Truitt?
We questioned him this morning.
Got a tail on him?
Sure, but he won't take us anywhere. Now, what are you cooking up?
Well, maybe you think there's something to Moran's blackmail story.
Oh, don't be an idiot.
Then what are you tailing Truitt for?
Because I can't take a chance. Blackmail's a federal rap, and if Moran keeps stirring up trouble, I want to be able to prove he's nuts. Now, you look here. I want to know what's on your mind.
I'll send you a letter.
Oh. Otis!
Yeah, Lieutenant?
Get me my bicarbonate. And shut up.
Bye.
Goodbye.
I went through the squad room and out into the hall. I used the payphone by the door and put in a fast call to my client, William Moran. I had a hunch, and Moran's $200 retainer in my pocket gave him an A priority on it.
Yes?
Mr. Moran.
That's right.
This is Diamond, Mr. Moran.
Uh-huh.
I've got a lead on someone who knew Mac Grayson.
Well, that's fine, Mr. Diamond. Who is it?
A guy who hangs out on Skid Row named Wilbur Truitt. Ever heard of him?
No.
Oh. Well, he might have been the one who phoned you this morning. I think I'll go down and find out.
Good, good. You'll keep in touch, won't you?
Oh, as long as I'm on the case. Goodbye, Mr. Moran. I left the 5th Precinct and headed for Skid Row. If you've never seen the street, it's a liberal education in the misery of human beings. Even the sun winds up with a hangover if it shines on the place too long. The Parrot Club was a cellar with a low ceiling and a drink of wine for 10 cents a glass. The smell of stale alcohol was so strong that if you opened the door to air the place out, the walls would probably cave in. I found Wilbur Truitt sitting at the bar with a dirty towel around his neck. He held the towel and a glass of wine in one hand, and with the other he pulled the towel, lifting his hand and the glass up to his mouth. You must have been an engineer.
I learned this little stunt in grammar school, Bucko. I started missing my mouth 30 years ago, so I use this towel as a sort of alcohol pulley. It cuts down the element of risk. Hate to spill a drop.
You know a guy named Grayson?
It's the shakes, Bucko. I am completely exhausted after a night of revelry, and my hand waves like it was flagging down a caravan of whiskey trucks.
Look, friend,
But after one or two pick-me-ups, I am perfectly capable of lifting the glass by myself. And come nightfall, I'm in excellent condition to entertain my little friends.
Oh, swell.
Most cowards let the little fellows frighten them, and they end up in Bellevue, but I like them. They worried me at first, but when they found out how much I drank, they began to show the strain, and the shoe was on the other foot, so to speak.
Oh, no.
They tried to frighten me the first night, but I just kept right on with one bottle after another, and it finally drove them to drink. Now my DTs have hallucinations. We are rapidly building up a thriving community. What were you saying, Bucko?
Something about the evils of self-indulgence, but I've forgotten now.
Good. In that case, I will let you buy me a drink.
Oh, sure. Waiter, bring the bottle.
You just gave me cold chills. If I lick your hand, it's only a sign of fond endearment.
Okay. Now, do you know a guy named Grayson?
I knew there was a catch. Are you a cop?
No.
In that case, I trust you. Besides, you are holding that lovely bottle.
What about Grayson?
First, a small glass of truth serum.
First, Grayson.
I can't stand to look, so I will turn my back on the bottle and tell you what I know. Mr. Mac Grayson, a very unsavory character who reached a sudden demise last evening, dealt in smutty pasts and made them pay off by milking his victims. He has only one friend, a Mr. Leo Fink. Now, please, I'm beginning to spit out wads of cotton.
Where does this Fink live?
Oh, you are indeed a heartless rogue.
I was once.
You aren't by any chance a spy from the Purity League?
You get the bottle when I find out where Leo Fink lives.
1120 Second Avenue now, please.
Now, here you are.
Don't struggle with the cork, Bucko. I have just acquired the strength of an uncropped Samson. And as I gaze upon this ruby goblet, I am reminded of the fact that you are not the first to come seeking the whereabouts of one Leo Fink.
Huh? Play it back in English.
Ah, a thug with the disagreeable habit of twisting my ascot approached me not 10 minutes before you came in seeking the same information.
Did you give it to him?
I had to. One more pull on my tie, and dissipation would have been a thing of the past.
Thanks, Wilbur. Here, buy yourself another jug.
Oh, bless you. And good morrow, cousin. Here's to my love. Oh, true apothecary. Thy drugs are quick. Thus, with a kiss, I die.
All right, that's the first portion of Richard Diamond, Private Detective, going back to 1949, starring Dick Powell, and that's Hans Conried right there. He's talking to Lisa. Good character actor, and we'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. You going to stick around, Lisa?
I will think about it.
All right.
Depends. Try to... You know, stay how the night us. Goes.
Yeah, it's not as much fun if you're not here. So just try to stay here till 2.
I know.
All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, Lisa, we are listening to a terrific kind of lighthearted detective adventure with Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. You enjoying this?
You know, I'm trying to listen, but you just keep chit-chatting about this and that and drama. He's got so much drama
surrounding. You're my Ann Landers. I have to pour onto you. I'm trying to listen to Lise and to you and to Richard Diamond.
It's a really big job.
You know, I mean, a whole week has gone by since I saw you, so I have a lot of things to tell you.
I know. It's built up over the week.
You know, she takes notes. She's very good. Copious notes. She's very good at it. Yeah. And then she gives me
And then I give you a bill at the end of the hour.
Well, you give me your take on everything, your analytical view of what's going on in my life.
I just use my good judgment.
Yeah. And
some of the time you listen.
Usually what the advice she gives, Lise, is pretty good. If you need advice on life, well, she's lived a long time. That's the thing. I mean, she has a lot of life experience.
More than 35 years.
Elif called me mom. Every time she had something, she'd come talk to me, and she'd be like, that's exactly what my mom would say.
Here's the thing, Lise. With age comes wisdom, and she's really, really smart. Yeah. So there you go. All right, let's get back to Richard Diamond, private detective.
I left Wilbur with his first love and walked out on the street. I grabbed a cab and headed for Leo Fink's address. All the way over, I kept thinking how wonderful fresh air really was. When we finally got there, I paid off the cabbie and looked at my watch. It was 4:30, and the city was turning soft and mellow as the sun started giving up behind the tall buildings. I got that lousy feeling again when I looked across the street. A prowl car was parked at the curb, and it looked like Homicide's private limousine. Something was wrong. I went up to Fink's apartment in a hurry.
Yeah? What do you want, Shamus?
Well, good afternoon, Sergeant. I'm taking the census. How long ago did you die, sir?
Very funny, Diamond.
Otis, who is that?
Diamond, who else?
I didn't ask for a quick quiz on well-known personalities. Let him in.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Shame on you, Otis. You'll never make an Eagle Scout.
Hello, Rick. What do you want?
I bet he's dead.
You'll bet who's dead?
You know who's dead.
Sure, I know who's dead. Who do you think is dead?
The guy I came up here to see.
Well, who did you come up to see?
Well, I think it's the guy who's dead.
Don't you know?
No, I ask you.
Well, I'm telling you.
You told me nothing.
Look, why are you up here?
Because I'm looking for a guy.
What guy?
I think it's the guy who's dead.
Who's dead?
Oh, he's on third. Don't you know?
I think I know, Lieutenant. You shut up. Of course I know.
Well, all right, all right. If you're going to hold out on your old pal.
Now, wait a minute. How did we get into this thing? Otis,
here's your bicarbonate, all mixed.
All right, now let's start again.
Walt, who's dead?
Oh, let's not have two bodies up here. The guy's name is Fink, Leo Fink.
Why did you say that in the first place?
Because I don't have to do anything I don't want to do.
Walt.
Lieutenant Levinson. Now, what are you doing up here?
Oh, I came up to see Leo Fink, that's all.
Well, he's in the other room. If he spilled anything, don't believe it. He's been dead for 10 minutes.
That's too bad. He knew Mac Grayson.
Yeah, how did you find out?
That sweet old gentleman you sent me over to, Wilbur Truitt.
Oh, you got something out of him, huh? What else did he tell you?
Nothing, but we struck up quite a friendship. I'm going to go back over and see what another bottle of wine will do to his memory.
I'd better haul him in.
Well, don't do it, Walt. Don't do it. I can find out things a lot quicker.
Shh. I got a system. Okay, but keep me posted. I've got to clean up here.
How did Fink get it?
2 bullets in the head. No idea who gave it to him. They used a Luger, I think.
Hey, have you questioned Otis?
Oh, go on. Get out of here.
Walt, tell me, did you check the prints on that highball glass next to Mrs. Moran to find out whether they were from her right or left hand?
Now, what difference does it make?
I'll let you know.
Now, you wait a minute.
No, I can't. I'm behind schedule now. Bye.
Oh, Otis!
I went downstairs in a hurry and started back to Skid Row and Wilbur Truitt. I turned a corner and had a quick change of heart.
That's far enough, Shamus.
Wow. Oh, look what I picked up.
All right. Get into this alley.
Now, why don't you put that cannon away? It shows up like a pair of gums at a dentist convention.
Turn around and get going.
I can run if it would help.
Take your time. You haven't got too much of it left.
Stop nudging. You got a cold barrel.
Don't you like it?
No, but it helps. A lesson in the manly art of self-defense. Next time, don't get so close with a gun. Well, what do you know? A Luger.
Okay, so I'm a butterfingers. You got the gun now. What are you going
to
do?
I got a mean streak, and it shows up when someone tries to kill me. I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and if you don't answer them, you'll wish you'd picked on an octopus. Now get up. Oh, you're a big one. Now, who sent you after me?
I don't know.
Who sent you after me?
Honest, I don't know. Wait a second. All right. The guy told me on the phone his name was Jones.
Sure. First name's John.
Now, wait. I know it's a phony, but he was recommended.
You get paid for your work, don't you?
Yeah, but this one I collect after the job.
Where? I thought you'd gotten over that stubborn streak.
Okay. The 8 o'clock ferry to Staten Island. He's going to slip me 2 bills.
And you don't know his right name?
No.
Did you know Mac Grayson?
Well, I heard of him, but I never met him.
Are you as handy with a .32 as you are with that Luger?
Huh?
Forget it. Next question. Who killed Leo Fink?
Oh, that's a pretty big one.
Okay, I'll word it differently. Who killed Leo Fink?
I'll take the beating.
Yeah. Well, I got a hunch this Luger of yours will check with ballistics. Come on. Homicide's still up in Fink's apartment.
Nuts.
What did you say?
Okay.
I hustled Louis up to Walt and left him handcuffed to Sergeant Otis. They deserved each other. Louis said he was going to be paid off at 8 o'clock, and my watch said it was 7:15. That gave me 45 minutes to check at homicide and still catch the ferry to Staten Island. The fingerprint man at the 5th precinct put the prints from the highball glass under a microscope and told me what I wanted to know. My hunch had been right. So I grabbed a cab, and 20 minutes later, I was paying for my ticket at the ferry landing. A thick, wet fog was beginning to roll in off the river, and by 8 o'clock, it was hard to even see your watch. Someone was playing a piano in the lounge as the ferry began to move slowly across the river. I didn't know who I was looking for, but I figured if there was going to be a payoff, it would be outside. I leaned against the rail and took out a cigarette.
Got a match, mister?
Yeah, right here.
Thanks. Lousy night.
Yeah. He wasn't my man. When he struck the match, I could see his dirty work clothes and his factory badge. I started down the other side of the boat. Finding a killer in that fog was like looking for your car keys in a mine shaft. I reached the bow of the boat, and right then I knew I was about to score. I get a tight feeling in my stomach when I start closing in on danger. I spotted the dark outline at the rail, so I pulled my hat down and walked up beside him. He was hunched over with his arms resting on the rail.
Terrible night.
Mm-hmm. It'd
be awful if you had to find someone in this fog.
Not if he found you first.
Yeah. I like the name Louis Osgood. Have you heard of it?
I like the name Moran,
huh?
William Moran.
Who are you?
Just an employee.
Diamond.
Yeah, you get a gold star.
Well, what do you want? Have you found the blackmailers?
Now, stop playing Alice in Wonderland. I just pushed around your hired goneth, Louis Osgood. He had enough to say to put you away for a long time.
He couldn't have. He didn't know
my... Didn't know your name? Who murdered your wife, you or Louis Osgood?
Why do you say murder? The police said it was suicide.
Well, I got news for you, Buster. Homicide just changed its mind. I checked and found out that the highball glass near her head was covered with prints from her right hand.
What does that prove?
It proves that to take her own life, she'd have to have fingers a foot long. The prints on the gun were also from her right hand. You're going to tell me that your wife shot herself while holding a highball glass in the same hand?
That's not my problem, Mr. Diamond.
Well, I think it is. If Louis Osgood didn't shoot her, that leaves just one suspect, you. Now, let's take a walk back to the cabin. I want to keep an eye on you for homicide.
All right.
This is where I leave you, Mr. Diamond. Hey, come here.
I hadn't thought he'd make a break, but as long as he had a gun and knew how to use it, I could understand why he did. I got my gun out and took off after him. I expected him to go over the side and in the fog, and he'd have a good chance. But when a guy gets cornered, he does funny things. I never would have spotted him, but he threw open a door and framed himself in the light from the inside. I must have caught him because I saw him start to fold and stagger through the door. I took my time getting there. A wounded man with a gun can get pretty mean sometimes. The door swung back and forth with the motion of the boat, and I could hear the sound of the engines. He'd gone down in the engine room, so I dropped to my knees and went in after him. A long, polished ladder led down to the big diesels below, and I knew I'd hit him with the first shot because there was a bright red trail of blood leading down the ladder and behind the churning machinery. Moran! Oh, Moran, come on out! You can't get out of here.
Come and get me, Diamond. I don't like being slapped around, and I'm going to see that you get yours.
He was somewhere off to my left and keeping himself hidden. A catwalk circled the engine room, so I pulled an old stunt. I took a wrench off the wall and tossed it down the metal ladder. I watched for his gun flashes, and when I spotted his position, I got down on my stomach and crawled along the catwalk until I was directly over his head. He was sitting in a lot of blood, and he didn't look like he had long to go.
Come on, Diamond, I know you're down here.
Surprise, look at the birdie.
What?
Don't try it. Sorry, Moran, but this just wasn't your night. You want to tell me about it?
I shot my wife. I came in just after she shot Grayson. And she was standing at the bar with her back to me, mixing a drink. She dropped the gun by Grayson's body, so I picked it up and shot her. Wiped my prints off and put hers on it.
Why did you do it?
I hated her. She had money. I found some letters and turned them over to Mac Grayson, the well-known blackmailer. I wanted him to drive her crazy until she drank herself into a sanitarium, and then I'd have her money. I never guessed she'd kill Grayson, but when I did, I saw a chance to kill her and make it look like suicide.
You should never have called me. The police were satisfied.
I had to find Leo Fink. He knew I'd hired Grayson, and he was going to blackmail me.
So when I dug up the little wino that knew Fink, you hired Louis Osgood to bump Fink and me. Is that right? Hey, Moran. Oh, well, it was a dull conversation anyway. Lousy night. The captain came and helped me carry him up to the deck. Back at the ferry landing, I called Walt Levinson and told him the whole story. I didn't wait around. I just hung up in the middle of his lecture on good behavior and started walking. A stiff breeze was kicking up and pushing the fog back where it came from. After a good round of murder, a guy likes to relax. And I knew just the place to curl up and get my fur brushed. I grabbed a cab and headed for 975 Park Avenue. And the only girl in the world who looked better than her $10 million bank account.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Diamond.
Hello, Francis. Is Miss Asher in?
Yes, sir. She's in the library.
Thanks. Get me a glass of milk, will you, Francis?
Milk? Oh, yes, sir. Right away.
Hey, that's a B-flat.
Rick, where have you been?
Sailing, sailing over the bounding main. Move over.
You were supposed to have been here at 8 o'clock.
Oh, what's an hour if you tack it on to the end of the evening?
Well, I'm glad you've been keeping out of trouble. I can't stand it when you wander in all beat up. You smell nice. What kind of cologne is that?
Gunpowder, 38.
What?
Oh, nothing. What's this you were playing?
Oh, a new song. Again.
You were just dandy.
Well, you know I don't play well. I just pick.
You should be glad you don't play the guitar with those beautiful nails. You'd saw it in half.
You're ridiculous.
Whoops. Oh, that wasn't a B-flat.
Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you love?
I won't tell.
Rick?
I love you, baby.
Then let's get married.
Hey, these are pretty good lyrics.
Now stop that.
Again, this couldn't happen again.
I hate you.
This is that once in a lifetime. This is that moment divine.
You never sing when I want you to.
What's more, this never happened before. Though I have waited a lifetime for such as you to suddenly be mine. No comment?
No.
Mine to hold as I'm holding you now, and yet never to part. Mine to... Hey, what's the matter? Don't go.
You want to sing? Go ahead.
Well, what did you have in mind?
I won't tell.
You're not being original. That's my line.
Well, I'm mad.
Come here. Come here.
No.
Come here. Uh-huh. Mm. Helen.
Mm.
Still mad?
No.
Mm. Well, let's get you mad again. It's so much fun making up. Mine again. What's the name of the song again? It never happens again.
I'm mad.
Oh, good. No.
Here's your milk, Mr. Diamond. Oh, my goodness, you never warned me.
You have
just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Tal Avery, Herbert Butterfield, and Jack Petruzzi. Music was under the direction of David Baskerville. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by William P. Rousseau. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. This program has come to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's Richard Diamond, Private Detective, May 29th, 1949, the Betty Moran case, starring Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, is heard on NBC. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Oh, yeah, this is good. I like this. What is this? It's like, I feel like I'm going to be a matador. There's a
it's
bull.
Like a marching band.
The bull coming. Who is it? The vampire what?
Vampire Weekend.
I like it.
Of course, it's Vampire
The Vampire
Weekend.
Weekend. I like it very much, Lisa.
So what did you do for St. Patrick's
I
Day
I hang
today,
upside
Carl?
Down in my teeter.
And your teeter?
I hang very safely and upside down in my teeter. And then I go
you
flying around.
You safely hang upside down on a teeter.
Yes, and I bite people on the neck.
So, you know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
Did you know that we have a website for this show and a Facebook page?
I sure do, but you should tell everybody else because maybe everybody doesn't
All right.
know.
Well, the website is WGNRadioTheater.com. Our full schedule is there. There's all kinds of fun stuff, and especially the schedule. That's important.
Especially.
There's also a store. You click through and you can look at our store. There's all kinds of classic radio shows available on CD and via digital download. Classic television shows as well. It's a really cool store. I'm very proud of it.
Yeah. Good.
And then there's a we have a Facebook page too. I have no idea how that works, but
well, you know, the thing
luckily,
about Facebook is WGN Radio Theater. We are watching Facebook, or I am, I should say, throughout the show. So it's a really good way to communicate with us. Let us know what you'd like to hear. Tell us how Carl is proud of himself. All those kind of things. We like to hear your comments.
Yeah, there's lots of pictures of Lisa there.
There are not. And you can, of course, text on the text-in line, 312-981-7200. I love to hear from you, and I try to reply to most comments if I understand them. You know, sometimes things just don't make any sense.
I have never seen anyone... fingers move faster than your fingers.
Okay, we just got a text that says I didn't do it. So
she can text.
I don't know what that means.
Lise, you should really. She's like the eighth wonder of the world with the texting. You should see her fingers like.
You know, you got to be fast in this business.
She's like a millennial.
Yeah, she's super, super talented.
What do you mean like?
She's like a superhero. Actually,
what is the like part?
Wait,
are you
maybe?
Like trying intimating that I'm not a millennial?
Yeah.
No comment.
Thank you.
But she is like a superhero. She's like a Marvel superhero. She's one of those.
Wonder Woman is coming
her
back.
Fingers
I
are.
Saw Logan today.
Did you?
Has anyone
How
seen
How was
it?
That?
Oh,
Logan
yeah.
is the daughter, right, of Wolverine?
No, Logan is Wolverine. That's his name.
Oh, okay.
I thought
I don't
also
know.
That it was.
I never
but,
watched
but
any
there's,
of those.
Yeah,
not
there's
like
a daughter.
Big on the Marvel. You know, this millennial doesn't love that, but you know.
And when you go to Facebook, our Facebook page, please like us. We have 2,040, I think.
Oh,
wanna,
you're up on things,
I want to get that to, let's get that to 2,060.
Carl, think big.
By the end of the,
well. Come on. Mm. Let's think big. If we're going to do this, let's do it big.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more right here on WGN.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Bill Curtis. 12:07 on a Sunday morning. Lisa, it's happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday
to you, and happy Sunday to Lee Scram, our producer for this edition of the WGN Radio Theater.
I was going to remind everybody at 2 a.m. we move the clocks ahead.
Yeah.
So imagine we'll lose it 1 hour of Dave Player.
But we're going to be here though. We'll be
we're
going to
be here the whole time.
The full 3 hours.
We're never leaving. We're just going to stay.
And then we'll
right
be back here.
Here
again tonight. With more classic radio shows, you want to tell our listeners what
I've picked out three great shows.
Yes,
we've
you
got
have.
Dragnet, The Fred Allen Show, and The Whistler.
Not bad.
Thanks, Carl.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
Yeah. So this hour, we have My Favorite Husband coming up. Then after that, Gunsmoke coming your way.
I have a treat for everyone. I just have to mention this
Is
before
it a chunky?
We start. It's not a chunky.
Is it a turtle? I love the Turtles, too.
No, I'm not into
Pixies. I like those.
Yeah, we don't agree on that kind of thing. But Carl and I were rehashing some old photos on our phone and showing each other some pictures from, you know, back before we were millennials. And I saw a picture of Carl and I couldn't help but post it on Facebook. And it will be a treat. So
which Facebook? Where? On our page?
WGN Radio Theater Facebook.
Okay.
You don't have a page, so
no,
I couldn't go there. I certainly didn't put it
on
my
page. I wasn't
sure
if it was on your Facebook page.
Now, that I would not do.
Okay.
But you have a treat in store for you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give
which
anything else away.
Which picture did you put up there?
You'll have to check it out. Go to WGN Radio Theater Facebook. Like us while you're there and check out the photo of Carl that I have posted.
I promise you will appreciate it. How old am I in the picture?
Younger than you are today.
Well, that would make sense.
Right.
All right.
Not from today.
I have to. How do I do that? What do I do? Just go.
I'm not going to tell you.
All right. I'll check it out.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we have a Cat's Pride. We have a Cat's Pride promotion right now. All right. So this hour, My Favorite Husband, then Gunsmoke, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming drama Wilson about a lonely man, not Carl, who reunites with his estranged wife and meets his teenage daughter for the first time.
Mm.
And they will win a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, which is home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of Kingpin.
There's got to be some way I can work this off, some way I can make it up to you.
All right, who is that actor, star of Kingpin? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. This is our hour two. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
There's got to be some way I can work this off, some way I can make it up to you.
Martin from Evergreen Park, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Great, glad you called in, and I'm guessing you know who that actor is.
I believe so. It's Woodrow Woody Harrelson.
Yes, you are absolutely right. Woody Harrelson is the right answer, and we are so happy to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. It's home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can also order online at loumalnatis.com. Thank you so much for listening and for calling in, and we appreciate your support.
I certainly appreciate the pizza. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Martin.
You. Have a good night.
You
thanks.
Too. Appreciate you. All right. Thanks for staying up with us, folks. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning every Saturday and Sunday night. Not just one night. We're here both nights, both weekend nights, until 2 o'clock. We start at 11 p.m. and we're here till 2 a.m. and we play six of your favorite classic radio
you
shows.
Finally got that right.
Yeah.
Carl usually says 10.
Well, because
but we're
I
really
get
on
here
at 11.
Around, I usually get here at 10.
But we feel lucky to be here both nights, 11 to 2, not just one, because one just wasn't enough.
Well, this is, I mean, for me, is, you know, I've said this before on the air. I used to be on the air here as a guest many, many times, like probably 50 times with Eddie Schwartz way back in the days when Eddie Schwartz was on. He would have me on as a guest playing classic radio shows, maybe like once every couple of months I would be on with him.
And now you're sitting in his seat.
Yeah,
right?
We're sitting here doing the show now, our own show, and it's just a full circle thing. It's so great, and I really appreciate management here, Todd and Stephanie, giving us a chance to play classic radio every single weekend here for 3 hours on Saturday and 3 hours on Sunday.
And if you can believe it, we are coming up to our 2-year anniversary of the day we started here at WGN, and that means a lot to us.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We've
been
feeling a little nostalgic.
We've been here two. Too long.
I don't agree with
that. No, I'm kidding. This is my favorite part of the week.
Yep.
Coming here.
Well, I know you don't have a lot going on.
Well,
so
driving down driving down here is tough. But you know what?
Once I'm here, I'm like, yeah. Well, that's because I'm here then.
Well, yeah, of course.
You know, you're just waiting to see me.
I think
that's the lure here.
Yeah, exactly. I get to see you once a week for two days. So really, I see you twice a week.
You see me on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
But then she calls me. Lise, she calls me like 25 times during the week. She just can't get enough of me.
He keeps saying that because all he does is say, can you talk or call
calls,
me right away? And then he starts
me.
Up with, you've got to hear what happened with so-and-so or so-and-so. And I'm like, where is this drama coming from?
Here's my text phone. Ding, ding.
He's dreaming.
Lisa Wolf.
He's dreaming
Lisa Wolf.
That it's me.
Lisa Wolf.
He wishes. It's usually just, I don't know.
I mean, can you maybe only do it like 30 times a week instead of
45? You should be so
45?
Lucky.
All right, it's time for an episode of My Favorite Husband. I know you love this series,
Lisa. I do.
Situation comedy show premiered in 1948. Lucille Ball and Richard Denning, they started as Liz and George Cooper, a married couple billed as two people who live together and like it. It was sponsored for most of its run by Jell-O. And George was a banker and Liz was his happily married housewife. Gail Gordon was George's boss, Rudolph Atterbury, and Bea Benaderet was Atterbury's wife. So great cast, a cast that she used on her television show for years and years. Now, Ball refused to transition this show to television, even though CBS asked her to. They said, you know, let's make this a TV show. She said, not without Desi.
Well,
and
she
so,
knew better.
Yeah, so she later reworked sort of the concept into I Love Lucy, and that was
a hit.
Huge, huge, huge staple on television for years. All right, it's time now for My Favorite Husband, January 14th, 1949. This is called Piano and Violin Lessons. Here's part one of My Favorite Husband.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Jell-O, everybody.
Yes, it's the new gay family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. Brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts.
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. And now let's look in on the Coopers. It's Saturday morning, and right after breakfast, George went up to the attic to get his decoy ducks so he could spend the day repainting them. Well, 2 hours later, Liz became curious and went up to the attic to see what happened to George and his decoy ducks.
George, what in the world have you been doing up here so long?
Hey, look what I found, Liz. A stack of real old National Geographics. Oh, come over here and look at these old magazines.
No, thanks. They remind me of the dentist's office.
Oh, but they're full of wonderful stuff. Look, it says right here that in South Africa, the female wombat takes on a protective coloring and becomes invisible during the mating season.
No.
No explanation has been found, and it's very frustrating to science.
I'll bet it's more frustrating to the male wombat.
Oh, gee, look at this automobile ad from 20 years ago, Liz.
Oh, let me see. Doesn't that make you sad? New Cadillac, $1,100.
Lend me your handkerchief, Liz.
George, let's answer this ad. It's got a coupon on it.
Oh, don't be silly.
But it's my favorite model, a sport roadster with a rumble seat.
Say, do you remember those roadsters, Liz? With the isinglass curtains?
And the rumble seat.
And how tough it was to put the top up and down.
And the rumble seat.
And those hard tires that took 60 pounds pressure.
And the rumble seat.
Hey, wait a minute. What's with you and the rumble seat?
I was just remembering my college days, George. A couple of fellows drove us to school when I used to ride back and forth in the rumble seat.
Oh.
I'll never forget my college days. Gee, I sure got a wonderful education.
At college?
No, in the rumble seat. Say, what are you staying up here so long for anyway? Haven't you found those decayed ducks?
That's decoy ducks.
Oh, George, I just remember what happened to them. You know the charity bazaar last fall?
Yeah.
Guess what we used for targets in the shooting gallery?
You mean...
Yes, those little decoys have gone to the great duck pond up yonder.
Oh, well, I needed new ones anyway.
George, we ought to throw away some of this awful trash up here. That old iron junk, for instance.
Junk? That's my muscle-building equipment.
Too bad you never used it.
lot. You know that my shoulders are 6 inches broader than they were before we got married?
Yes, I know.
And who can I thank for that?
Your tailor.
Nonsense. I built them up with this barbell.
Then how come when you take your coat off, they go back to their premarital size?
Oh, try and argue with a woman. I built them up by exercises like this. You lift the... You lift the barbell off the... Can't budge it off the floor.
What happened to you, boy?
Nothing's happened to me. It's the barbell.
Oh.
You see, when iron stays in a cool, dark place, it becomes heavier.
Oh. I thought that when a muscle stays in a lazy arm, it becomes flabbier.
Very funny. Now, listen, Liz. If we're going to get rid of anything, we ought to sell that old piano you insist on keeping.
Sell my wonderful old piano? Crazy.
Why all the sentiment? You never could play it.
I could, too, and I still can. Listen to this. How was that?
Fine. Now do it without the player piano.
I didn't think you'd notice.
Well, your feet gave you away.
Oh.
That's the only way you ever could play a piano, with your feet.
Oh, is that so? Well, name anything and I'll play it.
All right.
How about Glowworm?
How about the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto in B-flat minor?
How about Glowworm?
How about the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto in B-flat minor?
Did I hear someone say Glowworm?
No, you didn't.
All right, I'll play the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto in B-flat minor.
You mean you really can play it?
Certainly. The Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto in B-flat minor.
I thought so.
Quiet, this is very difficult.
I think the glowworm blew a fuse.
Well, this piano needs tuning, that's all. Oh, shut up. George Cooper, you make me so mad. I'll fix you.
Liz, put down that barbell.
All right.
Now, come on, Liz. Let's go downstairs.
Oh, no. Now you got me mad. I'm going to lick this glowworm if it takes all night. How do you think the piano looks in the living room?
It looks all right, Mrs. Cooper. I'm just glad that piano tuner's finished. He's been fiddling with it for hours.
He certainly didn't leave it very clean.
Say, that sounds fine. You play real good.
Katie, I'm cleaning the keys.
Oh. Well, if you don't mind my asking, Mrs. Cooper, how come you're taking piano lessons?
Oh, George makes me so mad. I'm just going to show him I'm not as untalented as he thinks. I used to play the piano pretty well.
Haven't you finished cleaning those keys yet?
Katie, this time I'm playing it.
Oh, pardon me.
It's all right. Now that it's tuned, George will see it was the piano that was at fault and not me. Can't even tune a piano. Oh, I wonder what's keeping Professor Krausmeier.
Krausmeier?
Yes, I located my old piano teacher. He gave me my first lesson when I was only 5 years old. I hope he realizes I'm grown up now.
And why?
Well, in those days, every time I did something wrong, he put me over his knee and spanked me.
Well, how often did that happen?
I never finished a lesson standing up. I'll let him in, Katie.
All right, Mrs. Cooper.
Why, hello, Professor Krausmeier.
Oh, little Lizzie. Oh, let me look at you. Ach, you don't look like a little Lizzie anymore. You look like a big Cadillac.
It's the same chassis with a little longer wheelbase.
All all the accessories, too.
Oh, thank you, Professor. Remember how you used to take me over your knee and spank me?
Yeah, and I remember that little song you used to play. Glow, little Glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. How is that poor little Glowworm?
Still suffering. Look, I found all my old music books.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Let me look, huh? Oh, 10 little tunes for 10 tiny fingers.
Yes, it comes out even. One tune for each finger.
And here's your old exercise book. Ooh, you got one gold star on the singing mouse.
Yeah.
You got 2 gold stars on the happy frog.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and here's the Glowworm.
What did I get on that?
One for Stunken.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's a little note you wrote.
Uh-huh.
She claims the piano is out of tune. Oh.
A silly excuse you used. Only a child would try a stupid alibi like that.
Oh, here's a good one, the robin.
Oh, you used to be pretty good on that one. Please, go ahead, play it.
All right. Pretty good, huh?
Lizzie, you got 10 fingers, haven't you?
Certainly.
Let me see your hands.
Why?
It sounds like you got 7 on one hand and 3 on the other.
Oh, Professor, you don't think I'm hopeless, do you?
Oh, nobody is hopeless. I can teach anybody to play the piano who possesses only 3 qualifications.
What are they?
A right hand, a left hand, and $5 an hour.
That settles it. Professor, I'm going to take lessons again. I have to learn at least one piece perfectly, or life won't be worth living around here.
Oh, I have the perfect piece for you. It's an old German folk song called Weit unten auf dem Schwaneflug. It goes like this. Weit unten auf dem Schwanifluss.
Oh, I know that song. It's called Way Down Upon the Swanee River.
Ach, they are translating everything these days. If you really want to show it off, you should go on my little radio program, you know. Yeah, Professor Krausmeier's Talent Scout. Each week I give a prize. Of course, that's just for my talented boobles.
Oh, well, that lets me out. I'm not a talented booble.
Now, if you would take 3 lessons a week, I might consider you talented enough to go on it.
Oh, I see. Mother Nature doesn't give out the talent anymore. You do, huh?
Well, we work hand in hand.
I guess. Tell me, Professor, how talented would I have to be to win this radio contest?
5 lessons a week?
5 lessons at $5. Professor, it's a deal. I'm going to win that contest and impress George if it takes all the talent I have in the bank.
One of the best shows on radio, a great comedy with my favorite husband, Lucille Ball, starring in her regular radio series that was sponsored by Jell-O. In the cast also, Richard Denning played her husband, George Cooper. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes, but first these words. Boy, $36.59. I can afford that.
Yeah, I think that's what he meant.
I would go on that for $36.
You know
that
what?
Includes airfare and everything.
I'm going to be a sport. I'm going to pay for you to do that.
$36.59. Do you think he could actually mean $3,659?
You'll have to call Steve Bertrand.
I can't afford. Yeah. But that sounds great. Spain.
I would love to do that.
You know? That'd
would
be good.
I would love to go. Maybe they'll take us just
I wonder if
for
they
fun.
Would, I wonder if we could get some kind of a WGN discount there. Probably save 3 or 4%.
I was going to say save $3 or $4. That might do it.
You make a lot of money. You can afford to send us both.
Yeah,
we'll both go.
I just said I offered to pay your $36.59.
Maybe that'll be my present for being on the air 2 years with you. And I'll give you a Hostess cupcake. How's that?
That seems like a great
good,
idea.
It's a good
or I could go and leave you here.
That's true.
That might be more
Roger's
fun.
Roger's up there going, these two battling Bickersons over here. The battling Bickersons.
Oh, I like her last suggestion.
He doesn't hear me. You know what he does? He listens to the podcast and then he calls me and says, do you remember that you said this? I'm like, of course. He said, I just didn't hear that. It just goes right over his head.
You know what, Roger? I have no ability to listen to do more than one thing at once.
He can talk, but he can't
listen.
So
if I'm thinking about the next thing to say, I drown.
I totally understand what you're saying.
I just have no, I cannot multitask.
Well, that's why, one of the many reasons why you have Lisa along.
Right.
To do all the multitasks that he can't do. So he talks and I do the multitasking.
Exactly.
Works out great.
Yeah, I guess because I just have
I have no idea what I just said.
I can't even chew gum and walk.
You know what's frightening?
What?
He's actually sitting at the control panel.
We've got Lise here, and she takes care of everything.
That's wonderful.
So
there you go.
We don't have to sweat.
All right. Well, after the news, we'll have more of My Favorite Husband. Then it's Gunsmoke. But
back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Roger Banish. And to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. And in the booth over there, Lise Graham, like the crackers. What's up, Lise? How are you, hon?
Hey, Carl Amari, like calamari.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a fried or...
steamed.
You can have it fried. You can have it grilled. Yeah? But I won't eat it. I don't like it. I don't like calamari.
Because it's like... cannibalism.
I just don't. Yeah, exactly. I'm not a big. I just don't really like it. Like if I'm going to get the seafood pasta and everything, I tell them I don't want any scallops and I don't want any calamari.
Can we make an announcement?
Oh yeah, that's right.
There's something important that happened this week, and we think that we should share that with you.
Yes.
So we haven't done it yet, but I think I'm going to do it right now.
Okay.
I'm going to spill the beans.
Spill them.
So our trusty producer Elif Garris, who's been with us for about a year, has taken a new job here at WGN. She will be working with John Williams,
right,
who is on weekdays from 1 to 3, Monday
That's
through
right.
Friday, 1 to 3.
I think
3.
Starting this Monday.
Starting Monday.
Wow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we have lost her, and we're sorry that we've lost her, but of course, we're happy for her. This is a full-time job
for
her.
Yeah, it's a full-time gig.
We're happy for her, and it's what she wanted. It's not what we wanted, but we're happy for her. I'm just going to keep saying that over and over. I'm going to remind myself that it's a good thing for her. So unfortunately, Lise has not committed to be our full-time producer, but we're glad to have her fill in whenever she can be here, and we don't know who it will be yet, but I'm still begging Lise, so we'll see what happens.
Well, Lise, we would love to have you as our producer. And then I think Tom is going to
Tom Hush will
handling
be
Sundays.
Here on Sunday night, and I think he will be our regular Sunday night producer.
Right.
So things are
so
changing.
So here's what happens.
Here.
Because Lisa is such a diva, we lose producers all the time. That's what happens.
Yeah, I'm
she
really
comes in here,
tough.
Barks orders at everybody.
Like, Lisa,
turn my computer on.
You got to do it
water.
Right now. Hurry up. And she's like, yes, Lisa, as soon as I can, I'm coming.
I mean, I'm shocked that Elif lasted a whole year with
right?
you.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, the
You're
good
tough.
News is Elif and I were not only work professionals, but we were friends.
And she brings a ruler. You remember how the nuns used to crack you over the hands with the ruler? Lisa does that still.
I carry my ruler.
Yeah. Right
I
on
see
the
it
knuckles.
Sticking out of her purse right there.
Yeah. Oh, I've got some worse than that sticking out of my purse.
Okay. Well, yeah, we wish her the best.
We do.
Elif is a fantastic producer.
We miss her, but I'm always happy to have Lise here, so we'll see how that goes.
She used to take naps, though, once in a while. You know,
who, Elif or Lise?
Elif. She used to take a nap, you know, during
She'd
the show.
Say, do you mind if I turn out the lights for a
Yeah, can I turn out the
minutes?
Lights for a little bit, take a nap?
I don't think she'll be doing that during
be,
John.
No, not during John. Really,
no, see, we're pretty low key here. Yeah. So I think during the week is
well. Speak for yourself.
That's true. Carl's high maintenance, but I'm low key.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it
All right,
goes.
So
but
we,
I'm
we
sure
do.
She'll
we
be
really
great.
Do wish her the best. I got the call last week from Stephanie, and she said, "Got
it was
good
this
news.
Week, actually.
Yeah, I got good news and bad news. The good news is Elif has a full time gig here at WGN. The bad news is you're losing her." And I said, I'm entering a rehab center. I'll need therapy because she's a great producer. I'm really bummed.
Well, you needed therapy well before that.
But Lise,
blame it on Elif. We always blame everything on Elif anyway.
You can get me out of therapy if you be our producer on Saturdays.
Yeah.
All right, it's time to get back to this. My Favorite Husband, January 14th, 1949, Lucille Ball Wolf, along with Richard Denning. Here's the conclusion to My Favorite Husband.
Oh, Katie, how long can this go on?
I don't know, Mr. Cooper. She's been playing 3 days and hasn't reached the river yet.
When she does, I hope she falls in.
We even got a telegram asking her to stop.
No. Who sent it? The neighbors?
I think it really was, but they signed it The Friends of Stephen Foster.
Oh, I'd better go in and try to reason with her. Maybe I can bribe her to stop. Liz! Liz! Oh, Liz!
George, please don't sing when I'm playing.
Been yelling at you for 5 minutes.
Well, I'm sorry, dear. I didn't hear you.
Well, how can you stand to hear the same mistakes over and over all day long?
Oh, I don't listen. I have cotton in my ears.
Look, why don't you stop this whole thing? I take back what I said. You're great. You play very well.
Really?
Honest Injun.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, George. I was going to give up, but you've given me the strength to continue.
Oh, what's the use? Goodbye.
See you later, dear.
Well, how'd you make out with Iturby?
Oh, she wouldn't listen to me.
She wouldn't?
No, in fact, she won't even listen to herself.
Oh, isn't there anything we can do?
I think I'll go down to see Professor Krausmeier. I'd better get to Krausmeier in a hurry. Now there'll be no stopping her. Professor Krausmeier, I'm Liz Cooper's husband.
Oh, come in, come in. Tell me, has she made it to E River?
Yes, today.
Congratulations.
Professor, I came to ask you to make Liz give up the piano. She's about the worst.
Wait! Your hands.
Huh? What about them?
So artistic. When you came in the door, I said, there are the hands of a pianist.
Really? Well, you're wrong, although I did play the violin a little in high school.
When you came in the door, I said, there are the hands of a violinist. I just happen to have this old violin in my studio. Go ahead, play.
Oh, but I've forgotten everything I ever knew.
Oh, nonsense. True talent never dies.
Well...
Go ahead, play. Heifetz, move over!
Yeah, I guess it did sound pretty good at that.
Hold it, hold it. You don't want to get stale, Yasha.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my, so much talent in one family. Oh, you will go places.
Oh.
No, I can see it now. George and his magic violin, and Liz and her make you glad you're not a Glover, Moosey.
Oh, but Professor, I don't have time to take lessons.
Now, look, Mr. Cooper, I'll let you in on a secret. I got a little radio program. Each week I hold a contest. Now, your wife is going to be on it this week. How would you like to be on it and win? On the basis of talent, of course. Say for $50.
It'll be worth it to beat Liz at her own game. It's a deal, Professor.
Stop that racket, George. I'm trying to practice.
You stop. I'm trying to practice.
All right. We'll just see who's the stubbornest. Where'd that harmonica music come from?
Me. I'm playing it in self-defense.
Oh, this is all your fault, George.
I'm going to be on that radio contest of Krausmeier's, too.
You?
Yes. And I wouldn't be surprised if I walked off with the first prize.
I would. What would you like to bet you don't win, George?
Well, make it easy on yourself. But I'll have to warn you, I got my information right from the jockey.
The jockey, huh? Mm. Shake hands with the horse. I'll just bet $100, George Cooper.
You've got a bet.
Oh, are you a sucker?
From now on, Liz, I mean business. May the best man win. Shake.
Okay, and don't be surprised if the best man turns out to be a woman.
Liz, what have you done? You've ruined my violin.
All I did was glue the strings together.
All you did?
Well, you were having so much trouble with four strings, I thought one big one would be better.
Oh. Oh, for goodness sakes, come to bed, Liz.
Do you mind if I give my hands their nightly beauty care?
Oh, are you going to wear those gloves filled with hand cream to bed again?
Yes, I am. I'm wearing them whether you like it or not. Say, these gloves feel funny.
Do they?
I can't get them off. George Cooper, what did you put in these gloves?
Quick drying cement.
Oh! Well, this isn't going to stop me. I'll play on that program if I have to get a new book called 10 Tiny Tunes for 10 Tiny Toes.
Oh, aren't you dressed yet, Liz? It's almost time to leave for the radio studio.
I just have to put on my dress. I bought it specially for tonight. Why don't you get dressed?
Well, it doesn't take me as long as it takes you. Mm. Hey, where is your dress?
Right there on the... It's gone. George Cooper, what'd you do with my dress?
Nothing. Oh, it's too bad, Liz. You wouldn't wear any of your old ones. Well, I guess you'll just have to stay home.
That's what you think. I happen to have a whole closet full of... Oh, my clothes are all gone.
Oh, what a pity.
You're so smart.
Hey, where are you going?
Right out here in the hall.
Hey! Hey, let me out of here. Let me out of here, Liz. Liz!
Well, that takes care of my competition. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to wear? Oh, I'll see if there isn't something I can wear in George's room.
Open that!
Little Danny Thielen, age 12. Thank you, Danny. You keep on playing like that, and who knows what will happen to you. Now we will hear from Esther Weiss, Zimbel student. Esther, I go look for her. Where is she?
I haven't seen her.
Oh, hello, Mr. Cooper.
Mrs. Cooper.
That's a nice-looking suit you have on.
Oh, do you like it? I thought the pants were a little too long.
Crazy people. Well, I gotta find Esther. Mrs. Cooper, maybe she's in the... would you go look and see if she's in the...
I wouldn't dare in these clothes.
Oh,
God, good. Oh, here she comes now. Hurry up, Esther, hurry up. By the way, where is Mrs. Cooper, Mr. Cooper? The other Cooper, where is he?
Oh, I'm sorry. He asked me to tell you he couldn't get out tonight.
I'm ready.
Oh, good. And now we will hear from Esther Weiss, Thimble student.
I am Esther Weiss, age 5 1/2. I will play Beethoven's 9th Symphony on the cymbal.
All right, Esther, go ahead. Thank you, Esther Weiss. And now for our last contestant, we hear from Liz Cooper at the piano.
Hi, Liz.
George, how did you get here?
I slid down the drain pipe.
That's a lovely dress you're wearing.
Do you like it? The skirt's a little short.
That's my sunsuit.
Oh, that's what it is. Hasn't it got an awfully low neckline?
You got it on backwards.
Now, for our last contestant, Liz Cooper at the piano.
Last contestant? That's going to be me.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Now, what's going on here? What's the matter, Mrs. Cooper?
That's Mrs. Cooper.
Ach, you're both here. But there's only time for one of you.
Well, which one?
That's something you'll have to decide between you.
I'll play.
That's what you think. Out of my way.
No, no, wait. Come back. You both can't play.
My name is George Cooper.
My name is Liz Cooper.
Age 36.
My name is Liz Cooper.
I'll play humoresque.
I'll play way down upon the Suwannee River.
But you both can't play at the same time.
One, two.
No, wait, wait, wait. You could at least play the same tune. One of you change to the other one.
All right.
All right. One, two.
Was good. That worked out fine.
Who won, Professor?
You both won. I give you the prize for the best duet. 6 months free lessons with Professor Krauswein.
Oh, no. George Cooper.
Huh? Hmm? What's the matter?
You ought to be ashamed.
Hey, what's the idea of slapping me?
That's for the way you acted in my dream.
Oh, what was I doing?
You were smooching with Betty Grable.
Oh, Liz. You know, I was dreaming, too, about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You were dancing with Gregory Peck, but you don't see me getting angry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where were you in your dream?
Oh, I was out on the patio, smooching with Betty Grable.
Oh! No. That's for me and Betty Grable. Good night, George.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The part of Katie the Maid was played by Ruth Parrott. Lucille Ball will soon be seen in the Paramount picture Sorrowful Jones. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband next week. Bob Lamond speaking.
That's My Favorite Husband, January 14th, 1949, starring Lucille Ball along with Richard Denning. Also in the cast, Hans Conried. Also, it sounded like Fanny Bryce playing one of the contestants on there. I don't know if it was, but it sure sounded like her. And that was a show sponsored by Jell-O, as heard on CBS. And this show did make a transition to television, Lisa, although they wanted Lucille Ball. She wouldn't do it. And so they cast Joan Caulfield and Barry Nelson. It ran 3 seasons, which really isn't too bad. But Lucille Ball reworked this along with her husband, Desi Arnaz. And I Love Lucy, of course, became one of the greatest comedy shows in television history. But this was her only regular radio series. She did a ton of radio. She was a guest on all kinds of shows. Appeared on Suspense many times. Was a guest on Bob Hope and Abbott and Costello. And all kinds of shows.
Yeah, I was going to say, she did much more than comedy.
Tons.
She could do everything.
A lot of drama. Yeah, tons of drama. But this was her regular radio series. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. This is one I always forget. If you're Lisa Wolf or if I'm Lisa Wolf, I always forget at this time of the night because it's late and it's way past my bedtime. Are you
I
Lisa
think
Wolf?
You just want to be me.
Everybody wants to be you, Lisa.
You more than most.
You know? I mean, drive a convertible Bentley, live in a mansion.
It's a Lamborghini, but it's
has,
close.
Has maids and all kinds of servants.
I did talk to you during the week, and you said, what are you doing? And I said, my
maids are coming over.
I said,
this is
my
true.
Cleaning ladies are
Lisa,
here.
This
coming.
Is a true story. She has 5 cleaning ladies that come over. This is true.
I have
it's a big house.
It is a big house.
You need a car to get from one end to the other.
It's a team. They come for like an
hour. For an hour.
Yeah,
they're
and then they come and do it, and then you're done.
I love my cleaning.
So I called her. I said, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? She's like, I'm waiting for my maids to get here.
I said cleaning ladies. I
don't call
them maids.
Okay, sorry.
Don't be degrading here.
What's the difference? It's the same thing, isn't it?
I think a maid has a condescending tone.
Doesn't
it?
Listen, I apologize to all cleaning ladies.
No, maids you're apologizing to. Cleaning ladies are okay.
Well, how dare I call cleaning ladies maids?
They're not all ladies.
Well, cleaning people. Cleaning people.
Cleaning people, that's what
Carl, you're just offending everybody at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
Right, even Roger. Roger's, like, he can't even talk to you anymore.
She said, I have my five cleaning people coming over.
Yeah. And maids do more than just cleaning,
what?
Though.
Exactly.
In the traditional sense of maids.
True. Right.
It's like a butler. A butler does
or a valet.
Than a valet.
As Jack Benny used to have.
That's right.
You know, they
Rochester
cook my
was
meals,
a butler,
they
a valet.
Go shopping, they cook. Prepare, cook, right. clean, they drive me places.
Take care of the kids.
You know, the pets, the whole thing. You know. So
and
I then, could just do my nails. And
this is true. I think the time before that I called you, you were at the nail salon getting your nails done. This woman works hard. She's a very hardworking.
It's a lot of work to take care of myself.
She has a driver.
High maintenance.
Drives her in her convertible Bentley here.
You know, with
Saturday.
All the money I make here at the station, Roger, I take care of myself.
Wait a minute, all the money you make.
Well, somebody's got to make it.
Okay.
It's Steve Cochran and me.
Hey, so she's.
That's right, and Cochran's really upset.
I know.
You're making more.
We're in cahoots here.
Roger, if we ever need a loan, she's the person to come.
Go to Steve.
I don't like her interest rates, actually. Yeah. I've been to her before.
A little bit high, yeah. She's at like 11 or 12%, I think.
You'd be lucky.
Whoa, you're
get
getting
that.
Off easy. On
exactly.
That.
Yeah. Did you ever 12%. See the rates on your Visa card?
Yeah, I don't have a Visa card.
All right, it's like 20-some%.
I don't believe in Visa cards because if I had a Visa card, you know what it would be.
You have a debit
to its limit.
Do you have a debit?
I have two American Express cards.
American Express is still a credit card,
but you
though,
have
right?
to, Roger. This is why I have American Express because I have to pay it off at the end of the month.
Well, you're supposed
right.
to pay anything at the end of the month, but not everybody
off.
Does
no,
that.
But at American Express, you must.
And what if you don't?
They'll take it away from you.
Yeah, they'll come and possess all his
Seriously.
Possessions,
no,
which will take about 5 seconds. Five,
less
say,
than
no.
5 seconds.
Okay.
First, he'll take his firstborn, and he'll be happy.
All right. In this hour, we have Gunsmoke from 1952, brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This fine actress stars in the upcoming action film Ghost in the Shell, which follows a human cyborg devoted to stopping dangerous criminals.
What do they win?
They will win a Twilight Zone 4CD set hosted by Stacy Keach.
Nice.
And produced and directed by Carl Amari.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
This is the good stuff.
Must be some good
oh,
programming
definitely.
There.
Definitely.
Twilight Zone 4CD set. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress co-starred in Don John.
All right, I had a few drinks the other night, so I may not have remembered telling you my first name.
All right, who is that actress? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
We're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're a little silly tonight. It must be getting late. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
All right, I had a few drinks the other night, so I may not have remembered telling you my first name.
And we've got Larry on the line from Genoa City. Hi, Larry.
Hey, da-dum.
Hey,
meow.
Hopefully we recorded that. We'll use that as our jingle from now
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's even better.
Please, yeah.
That's how you make the big bucks. You record some jingles. All
please,
right.
Every time you play, if you would, please.
Yeah. Larry, who's that actress?
That'll be Scarlett Johansson.
Are you a fan of Scarlett Johansson?
She's pretty good.
She's pretty good.
I watched the movie this evening with her in it. Don't ask me what it was.
There you go. See, it was meant to be. Larry, you're a winner. You've won the Twilight Zone 4 CD set. It's really great stuff. It's hosted by Stacy Keach, directed and produced by Carl, and he does only the best stuff. So we're so happy to send that to you.
Fantastic. I'm looking for a job, so if you're looking for a maid or a butler.
Either way, right? I hear you. <ya. laughs> Thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry. Thank Appreciate you. All right. It is time now for Gunsmoke. It was an adult Western created by Norman McDonald and John Meston. came to radio in 1952, lasted all the way to 1961. It was stories in and around Dodge City, Kansas, in the mid to late 1800s, and Marshal Matt Dillon was the main star of this show, played by William Conrad. Parley Bear was Deputy Chester Proudfoot. It was adapted for television in 1955, lasted all the way, Lisa, until 1974, and James Arness played Dillon, and it ranked number one on television from 1957 to 1961. But we have a radio show for you now, and this is called Lochinvar, and it stars William Conrad from October 17th, 1952, part one of Gunsmoke.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
What's the rush, Miss Kitty?
Come on, sit down and have a beer with us, Kitty.
I'd love to, Matt, but I just stepped out for some thread. I gotta get back to work.
Some thread? That sounds pretty domestic for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's an occasion. I'm making a wedding dress.
What?
Oh, no, Miss Kitty, not you. Oh, my, no.
Well, it isn't for me, Chester. Worse luck. It's for artist Nash. It's gonna be beautiful. If I say so myself.
Well, if I ever need a wedding dress made, I'll sure come to you for it.
Well, I'll be here, Matt. Let me know. See you later, boys.
So long, Kitty.
She's a fine girl, Mr. Dillon.
Kitty? Oh, yeah, she's great. She's...
Well, look who's back in town, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, Frank Craig. Hello, Marshal. Frank, I never expected you to come back. I don't know what to say to you.
You might say welcome home.
Yeah, I might.
At least you're honest, Marshal.
Sure. Where have you been for the last year?
Out west. Wyoming, to be exact.
And my sympathy for the peace officers of Wyoming.
Man can change, Marshal. Grow up and get over his wildness and start to think about settling down.
Some men can.
Well, I'm one of them. I don't aim to cause any trouble, Marshal. Came back here to marry Artis and take her with me, that's all.
You heard from her since you left?
She's pretty as ever.
She'll pass.
Every man in Dodge was crazy about her. She was my girl from start to finish.
Things can change, Frank.
She's still my girl, Marshal.
Ben Martin might differ with you.
Ben Martin?
Mm-hmm.
That bull-neck plowboy? He never had a chance in... What are you saying, Marshal?
You don't aim to cause any trouble, you say, and yet you just happened to roll into town 3 days before Artis is due to marry Ben. You're claiming you didn't know about it, huh?
Artis wrote me a farewell letter, Marshal. It doesn't make any difference. Like I said, she's still my girl. She's not marrying Ben or anybody else. Not while I'm alive.
Like I said, Frank, Ben may differ with you.
I used to chase him home crying when we were kids.
I don't think he'll chase that easy now. Ben took over the Circle Bar B. He's got 25 boys riding for him. He's a big man around here. Swings a lot of weight.
Marshal, I said I wasn't looking for trouble, and I meant it. I came back here to get Artis, that's all. If any man tries to stop me, I'll kill him. I'll see you, Marshal.
Chester, see if you can find Ben Martin. Have him meet me over at the jail office.
I thought he was 1,000 miles away, Marshal. I didn't think he'd ever have the nerve to come back.
Well, Ben, the two of you are bound to run into each other, so I figured you'd better know about it.
What's he expect, Marshal? Artis forgot him a week after he left town. Does he expect to force himself on her?
Maybe, you know, Frank.
For my money, he's a crazy, half-wild saddle bum who should have been hung 5 years ago.
He says he's settled down, though, Ben.
He's not going to settle down here.
Look, Ben, I don't like killings. Now hang on to that temper of yours.
Sure. I'll hang on to it, Marshal, just as long as Frank Craig stays clear of me and stays away from my girl. Otherwise, I tell you right now, Marshal, I...
Is that you?
Artis. We're in here, honey. Come on in.
Someone said you were here at the jail. Evening, Mr. Dillon.
Miss Nash.
I'm sorry if I interrupted anything, but... Ben, you know who's in town?
Yeah, Frank Craig. That's what we were talking about, honey.
He says he's come back for me. Take me away with him.
What do you mean, he says, Miss Nash?
He came to the house a while ago. He knew about Ben and me, that we were going to be married. But he came anyway. I sent him away.
That does it,
Marshal. All right, hold it, Ben. Now, there's no harm in him just talking to her.
A man's got a right to protect what's his, Marshal.
Protection's my business, Ben, and as long as I'm Marshal here, it'll keep on being my business. Now, in 3 days, you got a wedding coming up. I'd hate to see it ruined by a killing.
I have nothing against Frank Craig, Mr. Dillon. I wouldn't want him killed.
Neither would I. Oh, good night, Miss Nash. Ben.
Good night.
Think it over, Ben. Don't lose your head.
Yeah, sure, Marshal. I'll think it over.
How long are we going to have to keep on riding herd on Frank Craig, Mr. Dillon?
Oh, just till he and Ben meet face to face and have their say, I guess.
My, that Frank Craig sure is a fancy dresser. Silver spurs, red silk handkerchief, yellow boots.
Well, now, here's the marshal, right on the job.
Hiya, Doc.
Well, Matt, I hear we got ourselves a nice little killing coming up.
You hope we have, you mean?
Oh, no, it's not the fee. It's the romance of the thing.
Yeah, sure.
Young man comes back in the West, sees girl, finds she's on the point of marrying somebody
Chester.
Else.
Hmm? Watch me for the play and keep me covered, huh?
I don't know what you mean.
Over there. Ben Martin and two of his boys, they just came in. I'm going to go over to the bar next to Craig. And keep your head up.
Yes, Mr. Dillon. You better give me some room, Doc.
Well, how are you, Frank?
Yeah, I saw him come in, too. You've been standing over there watching me for 2 hours. Now you come up and speak. I fight my own battles, Marshal.
Frank, the way I'm playing it, there's not going to be a battle. Well, Ben, it's nice to see you.
Marshal, I'd rather you weren't here. I guess you know that.
Yeah, sure, I know that.
Don't worry, Ben. Dillon's neutral. That still gives you 3-1 odds. What more do you want?
Frank, we don't need you in this town. You were gone for a year and we got along fine. So if you climb on that horse of yours and ride out again, we'll still get along fine.
A girl won't, Ben.
You haven't got a girl in Dodge City, Frank.
Sure I have. And I want to thank you for looking out for her while I was away.
As far as she's concerned, you're still away. I might as well warn you, there are a couple of my boys on guard at her house armed with rifles.
Ben, I never needed a guard to hold her.
If you come within 50 yards, they got orders to kill you. You'll be there from now until the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
That wedding. I'm afraid that's been called off, Ben. You see, Artis and I have other plans. We got a wedding of our own coming up.
Well, you dirty darn.
Now, if either one of you draws, he's drawing against me.
I wouldn't draw on him, Marshal. I feel kind of sorry for him.
So help me,
Marshal. Shut up, both of you.
I'm gonna...
Now, you both had your say. And each knows how the other one stands. Well, here's my stand. If Ben wants to keep a guard at her house, it's all right with me. You've had a fair warning, Frank. So stay away.
I wish he would try to bother her.
And on the other hand, Ben, Frank's got as much right to the run of the town as you or me or anybody else.
Sure, as long as decent citizens hide their valuables.
You can't go by rumors, Ben. Nobody ever proved a case against him, you know that.
Piece of stout rope would prove...
I wouldn't try it, Ben. If you and your boys want a drink, now go on over to the Longhorn. Stay out of the Texas Trail here from now on. You, Frank, stay clear of the Longhorn.
You're quite an optimist, Marshal.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, are you leaving, Ben?
Yeah. I'll be seeing you, Frank. Come on, boy.
Frank, you got nothing to gain here and everything to lose. Miss Nash has made a choice, and whatever was between you once is water down the river. Why don't you pull out?
Because she's still my girl, Matt. I know, and she knows, too. You wait and see.
Your move, Matt.
Let's see now. So I move there. You move there. Jump in my king, block the whole corner. Nah. But if I move here...
Mr. Dillon, you can move.
No, you don't, Chester. No, you don't. I'm playing Matt. Not the both of you.
Well, Chester and I kind of run together, Doc.
Enforcing the law? That's fine. Playing checkers? No. Matt, it's still your move.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right. There.
Well, I'll be...
That's the move I was going to tell you to make, Mr. Dillon.
Thanks, Chester. Doc, you're beat. Let's call a game.
Yeah, you sneaked up on me. That's what you did. You snuck up on me. Well, that's all right, then.
It sure is a quiet night. I figured one of them two would make a play before this.
Yeah. And if we can get past noon tomorrow with Ben and Artis married... Well, even Craig ought to know when he's beaten.
Yeah, I don't know, Matt. He never did when he was here before.
Well, then he better learn. Trying to get a girl to change her mind is one thing. Bothering a married woman's another.
You know, Mr. Dillon, it seems to me Miss Artis Nash is the one that could put a stop to all this. If she'd just speak her mind out plain...
Kitty.
Now, what's the matter?
Kitty, what's
Matt,
the... Matt,
they want you over at the express office right away. You too, Doc.
Well, what's wrong?
Hold up, Matt. Somebody shot the clerk. He's dying.
All right, that's first portion of Gunsmoke with Lochinvar from October 17th, 1952. William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon. In that cast, Parley Bear as Deputy Chester Proudfoot, and probably recognize Parley Bear's voice. He was the Keebler Elf. He was the main Keebler Elf on the cartoons for... You know, the Keebler Company. He was also the mayor on the Andy Griffith Show. Remember?
I sure do.
Yeah, he did a lot, tons of supporting roles on television and millions of radio shows as well. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I forgot to remind all of our listeners, Lisa, that we have... a website set up to send a classic radio show every single week to our listeners. Every Monday, we email a classic radio show to our listeners, and there's also a picture of, let's say if it was Gunsmoke, there would be a picture of William Conrad in front of the microphone performing Gunsmoke. We do this for our listeners as a free service, thanking you because you are a listener of this show. Just go to freeradioclassics.com. Put your name and your email address, and then you'll get an email. You hit confirm, And then every Monday, you'll get an email from us, 52 weeks a year. Not bad, right, Lisa?
Yep, not bad.
I think it was your idea.
I think it was. Most of the good ones are mine.
Most, all.
All. That's
every single one of the good ideas is Lisa's.
Yeah, the lousy ideas, usually it's Lisa's.
And then Roger comes up with a good idea once in a while.
He does?
Pretty rarely.
Yeah, like never.
Pretty rarely.
Yeah. And well, when are we going to do the show? But go on with the...
Yeah.
No self-deprecation whatsoever.
What were we talking about last week? We said you were going to play In the Shadow, but there was another show that I said you'd be Gail Gordon.
You would be the perfect
Roger could play the perfect Mr. Mooney. But on the radio show, it would have been Osgood Conklin.
Oh, but I love Mr. Mooney.
Well, I'll do either one, whichever one you want.
Well, yeah, he's interchangeable.
But we got to make it happen. You're the boss.
Yes. Yeah. Say it again.
He likes to hear, right?
Say it again, Sam.
Wait a minute. I'm genuflecting in front of you. You're the boss. I'm not worthy.
I'm the boss.
Uh-huh. But tell us about the shows, because I get mine at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Mondays.
Me too.
It pops up.
I think mine comes right before yours, Roger, because
really?
It kind of goes in order of importance.
You're special, and I'm just a regular.
I think I get mine about 1:59 then.
Last week, you got crime classics and mystery.
Good one.
I'm not sure what's coming. I do these way ahead of time. But, folks, if you would like to get 52 emails a year from us every Monday with a classic radio show embedded in it, and you can Bluetooth it and listen to it in your car or however you want to do that. And also, there's all kinds of information on that show and a picture. Like, there was a picture of Lou Merrill. Lou Merrill played Thomas Hyland on Crime Classics. But if it's a Jack Benny show, there'll be a picture of Jack Benny. If it's a Our Miss Brooks show, you'll get a picture of Eve Arden.
Yeah, and
so
they're
30-minute
shows. Yeah. I just play it right on my computer while I'm doing other things.
It's a lot of fun. It's absolutely free. Just go to Free Radio Classics, and there is an S on the end of there, freeradioclassics.com. Name and email address. You'll get an email, hit confirm, and then you'll be all signed up. All right, it's time now for the conclusion to Gunsmoke.
Let me through here, please. I'm sorry, mister. One side, please.
Yes, one side, please.
All right, stand back now. Give us some room here. Can you get through, Doc?
Yeah, Matt, I can get through. Yeah, stand back.
Chester, will you move him back? Make him stand back.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Yes, let me have a look now. Just let me have a look.
How does it look, Doc?
Well, there's a lot of bleeding, Matt. I don't know. I'll do what I can.
Mr. Dillon.
Easy now, fella. You're going to be all right.
One man, Mr. Dillon, wearing a mask over his face. Red silk handkerchief.
Well, Frank Craig's the only man in town.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty late, Mr. Dillon. Maybe he's not going to come back here.
His bedroll's here, Chester. All his belongings. Man doesn't leave his stuff in a rooming house unless he's planning to come back to it.
He might have got the wind up after he shot that clerk. Maybe he just hit the saddle and lit out.
No, not Frank. There's one thing about him. I've never seen him scared. He'll be here. Sooner or later.
I can't figure him, Mr. Dillon. He must have needed the money awful bad.
Yeah, I guess so.
My, this hiding out in the dark gets on a man's nerves, don't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Helps some if we could just smoke. I don't suppose...
Shh. Somebody's coming, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I hear him. That's him, all right. Now watch it, Chester. All right, hold it, Frank, and don't move. It's Matt Dillon.
Thought it might be somebody else.
Light the lamp, Chester.
Yes, Mr. Dillon.
Frank, I understand you left the Texas Trail right after dark. Nobody's seen you since. Where you been?
Just friendly conversation, Marshal, or is this official?
It's official.
Then I guess I won't answer that.
I see you're still wearing that red silk handkerchief.
Any reason why I shouldn't be? Marshal, what's it all about?
Murder. If that express clerk dies?
I asked you, what's it all about?
Where's the money, Frank?
The way I seem to get it, somebody held up the express office and shot the clerk. You're accusing me. I didn't do it, Marshal.
Where you been?
Sorry, Marshal.
You're under arrest, Frank.
No, I'm afraid not. See, that would ruin all my plans.
You better lay your gun on the table over there.
I'm sorry, Marshal.
Some other time. Look out for the lamp. Grab him, Chester. Don't shoot, but grab him. Oh, he went through the window, Mr. Dillon.
Never mind, Chester. Grab a blanket. Let's get this fire out before it burns the whole place down. Come on.
Matt, don't look so sour. In an hour, it'll all be over.
Kitty, I'd be a lot surer of that if I had Frank Craig locked up in jail.
No trace of him, huh?
Not a sign.
Then forget about him, Matt. He could be halfway to Wyoming by now.
Well, I wish I could think so.
I wonder what Artis Nash is thinking about him.
What business has she got thinking about him when she's going to marry Ben in an hour?
I'm afraid you'll just never understand women.
Well, who does? Frank Craig's a born drifter. He'll never settle down. He's wild as a range colt. Never been broken, never will be. And sooner or later, he'll come home tied across his saddle. How any girl can get herself interested in a man like that beats me.
Not me, Matt. I know exactly how a girl can get herself interested in a man like that.
What?
I'll see you at the wedding. I gotta help Artis finish dressing.
Morning, Miss Kitty.
Morning, Doc.
Hey, good morning, Matt. You working up your courage?
What for, Doc? I'm not getting married. How's the express clerk?
Oh, he's bad. He's getting worse. I don't think he's gonna make it. What about Frank Craig?
Nothing, not a sign. I think he's still around town somewhere, but we
can't.
Morning,
Mr. Dillon.
Well,
Doc?
Doc, look at that.
Well, look, it's an alpaca coat, boiled shirt, green galluses, and a pink silk tie. Oh, well, Chester, I haven't seen a get-up like that since I hauled out of Boston.
Well, I figured it was only due respect to the bride.
Where's your gun, Chester?
Oh, goodness gracious, Mr. Dillon, you can't wear a gun to a wedding.
Well, at this wedding, even the bridegroom's wearing a gun, Chester. I'm wearing one, and so are you, so you better go get it. Meet me at the church.
Mr. Dillon, she is so pretty, I wish I was marrying her myself.
You'd better forget it, Chester. Ben's got enough worries as it is.
He sure does look fidgety, all right.
Yeah, he's got reason to.
Room for me here, Matt?
Oh, yeah, sure, Kitty. Here, slide right in here.
Yeah.
Here we are.
My dearly beloved friends and neighbors, it is the privilege of all of us to be gathered here together in the sight of the Lord and in the presence of one another for the purpose of uniting this man and this woman in the bonds of holy matrimony.
It won't be long now, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, the sooner the better.
Barbara Artis Nash and Benjamin Martin, there is, I am sure, no need to emphasize the solemn and sacred nature of the great institution into which they are about to enter.
I never heard all of this before.
You still want to marry her, Chester?
Beyond and above the decay and corruption of the flesh and the devil. Your manifest presence, as you come here, together, and forsaking all others, stand hand in hand,
look at the back of the church.
To have,
yeah, Frank Craig.
He's just standing there, Mr. Dillon, just standing there and looking.
Slide out to the side aisle, Chester. Maybe we can get to him quietly without breaking up the meeting.
I think it's already broken up, Matt.
Artis fainted, Mr. Dillon. She fell right on the floor.
Yeah.
Come on, Chester.
Pardon me.
Would you let me through, please?
Can we get past here, please?
I'm sorry, lady. Would you... One side, please.
Can we get past here? He was right here by the door.
Outside, Chester.
Hell, no sign of it.
Matt, did you find him, Matt?
Not yet, Ben. Put that gun away. You want to kill some bystander in the crowd?
There's only one man I want to kill. I should have done it 3 days ago.
Yeah, I know, Ben. What'd they do with Miss Nash? They
carried her into the minister's study. That dirty, low, walking right into the church. Scared her out of her wits.
Marshal Dillon.
Oh, over here, Reverend.
Marshal, a terrible thing has happened. He forced his way into my study, pushed me out the door.
Craig?
Yes, he had a horse tied behind the church. He's gone and taken her with him.
He's kidnapped her, Matt. He's kidnapped
her. Save your breath, Ben. Get your horse. Come on, Chester, let's ride.
Did think we'd get back to town, Mr. Dillon. I'm saddle sore and beat.
Yeah, Chester.
100 men hunting him, and he slips past all of them. I swear I just can't figure it.
Any trace of him, Matt?
Not a sign, Kitty. Some of the boys are still beating the riverbed south, but I don't know.
Guess he kind of made fools of us, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I guess so, Chester.
Mash!
What?
Any luck?
Yeah, sure, Doc. All bad.
Yeah, mine too, man. That clerk died a half hour ago. Yeah.
So now it's murder, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, now it's murder. Hello, boy. Well, let's go into the office and get out a bulletin. A bulletin. What a good that'll do. Light the lamp, will you, Chester?
Yes, sir. Here we are.
Hold it, Matt. You too, Chester, don't move. The only place nobody'd ever think of looking. Right here in the jail.
Yeah, that's what we figured.
Well, Miss Nash, you seem to be in pretty fair shape for a kidnap victim.
I'm not a victim of anything, Mr. Dillon. Unless it's my own foolishness. That's what most people would say, I guess. Maybe they're right. I only know this. When Frank came back to town, I knew then that it wasn't over and never would be. I'm Frank's girl, Mr. Dillon. For better or worse, right or wrong. I'm going with him to Wyoming.
He's wanted on suspicion of murder, Miss Nash.
He didn't do it. He couldn't have. He was with me when it happened.
What did you say?
He slipped past Ben's guards and came to see me. That's why he wouldn't tell you where he'd been. He didn't want to get me in trouble.
He's telling the truth, Marshal. Yeah, maybe.
Mr. Dillon, you might ask Ben Martin what happened to my red silk scarf. I missed it right after he came to see me that afternoon.
Go on.
He didn't do it for the money. To ruin me once and for all.
If we were lying, we wouldn't have come here, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, it makes sense, all right, but... Chester, who rode up out there?
It's Ben Martin, Mr. Dillon. I think he's coming in here.
Where's your horse, Frank?
In the corral, back of the jail.
All right, go out the back way. Get it and head for Wyoming. Take one of my extra horses and leave it at Bison Flats. You can buy another horse from the Indians there.
Matt, I... Don't know how we can ever thank you
never
for...
Never mind that. Just get going before I change my mind. And, good luck to both of you.
Thanks, Mr. Dillon.
Anybody here?
Yeah, come on in, Ben.
Throw the light on. Figured you must be here. Any sign of him? What's the matter?
The clerk died. Why'd you do it, Ben?
I don't know what you mean.
Where's the red scarf you stole from Miss Nash? I gotta arrest you for murder, Ben.
I don't think so, Matt. I don't think I'm going to let you do that.
You've seen me draw before. Now you better give me your gun, Ben. Don't do it the hard way.
What you call the hard way, Matt, may be the easiest way of all. So win or lose, I guess...
Something fell out of his pocket there.
Yeah. His marriage license.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Herb Ellis, Vivi Janis, Tom Tully, and Barney Phillips. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Strange Island tells the remarkable story of a tropical paradise that sank into the sea. Hear all about it on Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle, tomorrow night on most of these same stations. Hear about the miracle that saves Tarzan from drowning and brings the island back from the sea. Remember, it's yours for thrills on tomorrow night's exciting adventure with Tarzan, created by Edgar Rice Burroughs and brought to you now by CBS Radio. Clancy Cassell speaking. And remember, Broadway's My Beat brings you startling mysteries Saturday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
That is Gunsmoke from October 17th, 1952. Lochinvar, starring William Conrad, along with Parley Bear and Howard McNear and Herb Ellis and Georgia Ellis. Good episode of Gunsmoke. Hope you enjoyed that. We're going to be talking to Dave Plyer right after these words.